Thank you to our youth pastor, Chad Mars, for filling in for our worship pastor, Charles Coven, his wife Bonnie. They, this past week on Thursday, they delivered baby number 9 to the Coven family. Yes. So we praise God for Henry William Coven, 22 inches, 9 pounds, 5 ounces. That's a big baby. And so we're grateful. We're grateful for him, and everybody's doing well. I want to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Today we're going to be in verses 161 through 168. If you're new with us today, starting in January, we began walking through Psalm 119 and section by section. Psalm 119 is divided by the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet is only consonants. There's no vowels in the Hebrew alphabet. And each of these sections of Psalm 119. And so we're in our second to last sermon in these verses. And as I did on Mother's Day, and I'm doing today on Father's Day, sometimes we'll tailor sermons around this holiday. But I really feel like it's important for us just to continue through Psalm 119. Now, if you don't have a Bible, maybe you're not familiar with the Bible, we provide a Bible for you in the seat in front of you, or near a seat in front of you, and we put the page number where these verses are found in your bulletin so that you can turn right to these verses. So again, Psalm 119, verses 161 through 168. Follow as I read. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise, like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, O Lord, and I follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. Church, this is the word of God. Today, I want to talk to you about your tempers. Not your temper, if you have one of those, but your tempers. You say, what are you talking about? You know, we talk about temper as someone who is easily angered, quickly angered. They have a short temper. They get angered easily. But if you go back a few hundred years, the word temper or tempers was used differently. Now, I came across the plural use of this word tempers over the past few weeks. I am working on a series of articles for a news agency called the Baptist Standard. And so I'm leading a group of 4 of us, and we're going to be writing articles on what Baptists can learn from the Wesleyan tradition. And this tradition flows out of a guy named John Wesley. John Wesley was a pastor in the Church of England in the 1700s. And God used him to lead revival in Britain and the Americas. He was a pastor. He was a teacher. He wrote extensively. And so there's this broad tradition called the Wesleyan tradition that ties back to John Wesley. The most prominent one are Methodists. The Methodist Church is a part of the Wesleyan tradition, but there are other traditions that are part of the Wesleyan tradition. Well, anyway, so as I'm reading John Wesley and I'm reading about him, he uses this word throughout his writings to talk about how Christians grow in their faith. He talks about our tempers. Again, this is kind of a strange word for us, but what they meant hundreds of years ago by tempers are the aspects of our character, the dispositions of our character. It goes deeper than only just our feelings or our affections. Those are important. The experience of Christianity, the feeling that we have with Christianity are important. But this goes a little bit deeper. The language we may use is how our character is formed. For what shapes our characters, or if you lived 200 years ago, our tempers, right? These aspects of our character. The way that that is formed shapes our life. It shapes our feelings. It shapes what we do. It shapes what we don't do. It's sort of the inner dynamic of the formation of our character that shapes our life. So today I want to talk to you about your tempers. We read here a second ago in Psalm 119, we have had a chance, and again, I know not everybody, this is maybe your first Sunday here, but when you read Psalm 119, as many of us have done over these past few months, there are these certain themes that develop over and over again through Psalm 119. And one of the themes that develops throughout Psalm 119 is the man who is writing this, the man to whom God inspired to write this, is experiencing a lot of trouble in his life. He's got a lot of problems. He's got a lot of struggles. He's got a lot of difficulties. He has a lot of people who don't like him, who hate him, who are coming against him. And so one of the themes you'll see over and over again in Psalm 119 is this kind of lament, this kind of crying out to God as he experiences these difficulties, these problems, these struggles in life. And you see a little bit of that here in these verses, right? That first verse, he says, "Rulers persecute me without cause." He's being treated unjustly. But that's not really the theme of these verses, is it? Throughout these verses, we see the theme of praising God. Look what he says. He says, "But my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great wealth or great spoil." He says, "I hate falsehood. I love your law. Great peace are those who love your law. I wait for your salvation. I follow your I obey you, God. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly." The dominant theme in the midst of these verses is praising God. In fact, the kind of the center of this verse 164 says here, he says, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws." Now, we can take that literally, that maybe there are seven parts of the day that he carves out a time to praise God. But I think, again, if you're familiar with the Bible, the number seven is the symbolic number of completeness. What he's saying here is the totality of my life. My life is saturated with praising God. He's facing these difficulties. He's facing these challenges. He's in the midst of these problems. And yet, he's praising God. So I want to ask you, or if I were to ask you, what would it look like in your life to be the kind of person who praises God in the midst of your problems? And you've got them. We all do, right? What would it look like for you to praise God in the midst of your problems? Now, how would you answer that question? That's an important question, right? How would you go about it? If I said, you need to, what would you tell somebody who said, "I want to praise God in the midst of my problems"? Some of us would rely on a should statement. We would create a rule. We would create a principle. If you're a good Christian, you should praise God in the midst of your problems. You say, if you just tell me, right, you should praise, and that's not wrong. But how many of us, if I tell you this morning, you should praise God in the midst of your problems, are going to do it? You might feel bad about it. A lot of Baptists are good about feeling bad about things, but not doing anything about it, right? So we might feel bad about it, but it's not necessarily going to change our life. You're not going to praise God in the midst of your problems just because some pastor said you should. I mean, let's be honest, right? So it's got to be more than just a rule to follow. You should. It's got to go deeper than that. It's got to go to the formation of our character. Or 200 years ago, the formation of our tempers. And when you look at these verses here in Psalm 119, the verses I read today, but the verses throughout Psalm 119, you find somebody who has been formed, his character, his tempers, if you will, have been formed and shaped in a very particular way. And that particular way is that he has been formed and shaped by God's word. Throughout Psalm 119, over and over again, God's law, God's principles, God's statutes, God's promises, God's truth, over and over again, he uses these words to talk about how his life is profoundly shaped by God's word. His life is saturated by God's word. And what is the result? What is the consequence? What is the overflow of a life shaped, formed, saturated with the word of God? It's the praise of God. Even in the midst of his problems. He didn't praise God because some pastor told him to. You know, he praised God in the midst of his problems because he's been formed and shaped by the word of God. And that's true for you and me as well. That how we are formed by God to become the person he has called us to be is going to have a profound impact on our life. And so it is in our lives with the word of God. That the formation of God's word in our life is going to lead to the praise of God even in the midst of our problems. Or as I put it here on the screen, praise in the midst of your problems is the overflow of being saturated or formed by the word of God. When you are formed and shaped by God's word, the result, the consequence, the overflow is praise of God, even in the midst of our problems. So what does that look like for you and me today? Let me speak to two groups here, I hope, today. The first group are those of you who are here who have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know the Word of God, or God working through His Word, is going to impact you as well. That's why you got to be careful. You got to be careful around the Bible because God's going to use His Word. And how is God going to use his word for those who don't yet know him? God's word is going to come to you as confrontation and conviction. If you're separated from God right now, you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, hear me, God's word is going to come to you through confrontation and conviction. Because all of our nature, as we think about God, is we want to relate to God on our terms. We'll say, listen, I'm good with God. And what you're saying is, I'm doing what I want, and so I think I'm good with God, right? Or are we going to live life how we want to live it by our own terms and just assume that God is good with that? And so God now then comes to us by his word, by his revelation, and he brings truth to bear upon our lives. It comes to us in confrontation, like, who do you think you are? That you're going to determine, you're going to come to God, and you're going to set the standards by which you relate to God. God's going to bring his truth and the weight of his existence to bear upon you and reveal to you that you don't set the standards, God does. The same way in that conviction, God's going to reveal to you your separation from him. And so God's going to bring that kind of confrontation and that conviction because he's going to bear his truth to bear upon your life. And our egos, our precious little egos, we like to be in charge. right? And so we revolt against that. We'll revolt even against God. God bless us. Sometimes we want to be right, even if we try to be right before God. So God confronts us and convicts us, and our ego doesn't like that. We don't like the humbling that comes with the Word of God, but God humbles us through His Word, and He reveals to us that there is nothing, absolutely nothing you can do to reconcile yourself to God. It's impossible. There's nothing you can do. And if that were the end of the story, it would only be bad news. But Jesus said something that was important. He said this, "What's impossible for man is possible with God." And then this becomes the good news, doesn't it? That God in His holiness, and the grandeur and majesty of who He is, that confronts us in our sin and our self-interest, also is the God who is not only perfect in holiness, but perfect in His love. And He doesn't abandon us, but He extends His mercy to us, not leaving us to our own devices, not leaving us under the judgment of God. But what does He do? He gives of His Son, right? And this is the message of the cross, that Christ in His body, that Christ in His blood reconciles us to God through atonement, through the atonement of our sins, through the shedding of blood, and then 3 days later through the resurrection of Jesus Christ giving victory over life, over death, that it is in, by, through Jesus Christ that you can be reconciled to God. What is impossible for man is made possible with God through Jesus Christ. And this is the good news, that God came to save sinners, that Christ came to save sinners, even you, even a Marine. Isn't that right? Amen. That God came to save you. And that's the good news. So the Word of God, God confronts you and convicts you. And if that's you this morning, I want you to hear me. The tendency under the conviction of God and the confrontation of God, where He kind of brings that 2x4 across your head, metaphorically speaking, is we push back and resist. But I want you to understand that God's confrontation is for your good. And it's to bring you to that place so that you might hear the good news that Jesus Christ came to save you. And even you can be reconciled to God through Him. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, to the second group of us, of those of us who've put our faith in Jesus Christ, the temptation for us is once we have been the recipients of His grace through salvation, by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, the temptation for us as we seek to grow in our faith is to go back to law, to go back to just rules to follow, to even see the Bible as a kind of rule book of obligations that we're trying to do in our own strength and power, instead of seeing that the grace that's sufficient to bring you into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the same grace that's sufficient to help you grow in your faith. And one of the ways that God extends His grace to us is by the means of giving His Word. The giving of His Word is not just a rule book. There's certainly truth and law in this, but the giving of His Word is a way of helping us to grow in our faith. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of grace that God gives us. Now watch this. So that by His Word, He's forming and shaping your character. Again, if you want to use this word, tempers, right? Aspects of our character. That God is using His Word. He has given it to us for our good so that we are being formed and shaped by the saturation of God's Word. That's why it's important for you to crack open your Bible or whatever, turn on your tablet with the Bible app and actually spend time reading the Bible. And maybe memorizing the Bible, maybe praying the Bible, but spending time privately in the Word of God. That's why it's important to find ways to get into community where you can talk about the Bible with other people, that we can talk about what the Bible means and how it applies to our life. It's why it's important for me, and this is my prayer for us today, that I rightly preach the Word of God. It's why I want you to open the Bible for yourself while I preach. Right, so that you can read the Bible. So I pray to God that I rightly preach the Word of God. And what happens over time? Days, weeks, months, years, decades, God willing, if God gives that to you, is there's this slow formation in your life of becoming the person who God has called you to be. Even the kind of person who might praise God in the midst of your problems. Do you see how different this is than just feeling guilty because a pastor told you to do something? Do you see how different this is than just chasing the experiential highs? Then there's time and place for those spiritual high moments. But getting down to the real world Christian faith is a day in and day out formation of your character in such ways that you become, by the means of God and His grace and His Word, the kind of person who will praise God even in the midst of your problems. See, that's how God works in our life. So that's why it's important for you to get into God's Word. The formation of your, and again, you might not always feel like it. It might not always feel like God is working, but understand me, even when you don't feel like it, God is doing His work in your life. And you don't have to be weird today and go talk about your tempers with everybody. In fact, don't do that. People are going to look at you like you're weird. Y'all were looking at me like I'm weird talking about it. But understand this is how God works in our life. So I want to give you a vision today, not just simply of a life of what it should look like. Of course, that's important. But also to give you the vision of how God works to shape your character, to shape who you're becoming. And He's going to do that by the rhythms of God's Word shaping your character. And when that happens over time, then you'll become like the psalmist who says, in the midst of your problems, and you'll have them, that's life. We'll all have our different problems. But in the midst of our problems, we'll still be able to say, God, I praise You. I worship You, and I want my life to glorify You. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank You for every person here today. God, I don't believe it's an accident that they're here, even if they don't want to be here. And I pray today, first of all, by the means of Your Word, that You'll bring the weight to bear of conviction and confrontation to those who've never put their faith in You. And that, God, as they bear out the weight of that conviction, I pray, Lord, that for the first time in their life, enabled by Your Spirit, that they'll turn from themselves, that they'll turn from trusting in themselves in their own ways, that they'll turn, repent from their sin, and for the first time call out to You, Christ, believing that You died on the cross for their sins, that You've taken their shame and nailed it to the cross, that you are victorious over death. They'll call out to you, Christ Jesus. They'll receive you, Christ, by faith for the first time in their life. God, I pray for those of us who are your followers that we don't rely upon our own strength or our own means to become the kind of person you've created us to be, but that we will rely upon your word and your spirit, and that our lives might bear testimony, not just when things are good, but when we also have problems. And that in the midst of those problems, we'll bear testimony to you by our praise of you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.